The Mays, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Flames tonight at 7. Barry Trotz will join us in 1 hour right here at this very desk inside Bridgestone Arena at Barrel House. So we will catch up with Barry Trotz in an hour. Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:20. We will get his thoughts on all things college football in just a matter of moments. But we will continue the conversation. We'll take your reaction to the college football playoff, Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, the Heisman Trophy, all of it's on the table. 615-737-1025. Let's start with Andrew, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line. Andrew, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've got a random thought, but I was thinking, if you ever seen the movie Billy Madison where they have, like, a decathlon, what if you invite, like, Miami, Notre Dame, and Vanderbilt all at a neutral site and they compete for their case to be in the college football playoff like Billy Madison style for that decathlon? Honestly, no. I mean, I know that wouldn't work. But in all seriousness, how does this open up an opportunity for a discussion about a play-in game? I'll hang up a little bit.
A play-in game. Thank you, Andrew. The opening the discussion for a play-in game for the college football playoff.
You know, it's a great thought. And I think this also is going to have them go to 16 sooner than later. But the problem with it is, no matter where you draw the line, these debates are just going to happen with teams. Instead of teams 11, 12, 13, 14, it's going to be teams 15, 16, 17, 18, and probably more. Because the deeper you go, the more teams have a similar resume. If you get into three-loss teams, you'd have a dozen teams in there, right?
Yeah.
All clamoring that they were stronger. So the more you bring in, the more – it's like the song, More Money, More Problems. More teams, more debates. I think – is that a new song coming out? More teams, more debates? By Adam Fingan, the analytics expert?
Nobody wants to hear me sing or rap. So I will leave it to somebody else to do that. Matthew from Jolton says, I feel like Vandy deserves to be in the playoff. They will need BYU to get blown out by Texas Tech. One thing that helps Vanderbilt – was my Wolverines losing to Ohio State. I never really considered Michigan a true college football playoff contender. BYU is the bid stealer, right? If BYU, well, let me ask you guys this question. If BYU, remember, BYU played Texas Tech a few weeks ago, got clobbered. Let's say BYU exacts revenge on Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game. BYU gets in. Do you also think Texas Tech gets in as well?
I think they get in. I think both teams.
I think it's a bid stealing situation, like we often see in conference championship games in basketball. Willie's thinking about this.
Well, no, it's simpler if Texas Tech takes care of BYU.
Right,
it's simpler that way.
If BYU were to win, do you think Texas Tech also gets in?
How many losses?
You're asking that.
Losses?
That would be two for Texas.
I think they
Tech.
Still get in.
You're asking that to an SEC snob, right?
Yeah,
I know my answer, but I'm an SEC snob. I also get that there are politics. There is, I think, an underlying pressure from some on the committee to try to balance the field to where it's not the SEC Invitational. I do think that that is a thing. They're trying to overlook the fact that the SEC has more resources, has the bigger spotlight, and they are the best. But how do you do a tournament, a national tournament, and try to feel like everybody's got a chance and everybody's involved? That is a thing. It's a pull and push.
One texter says, I hope this whole ordeal with Jared Curtis sweeping the nation right now inadvertently adds some bias to the playoff committee and it gets Vandy in the playoff. The deep commitment from Georgia was even written about in the New York Times today. The Athletic, of course, owned by the New York Times. But this texter saying that he hopes that the Jared Curtis flip, maybe that's a check in Vanderbilt's favor. I don't think so, but it is a nice thought.
And if Nate Bargatze gets him in a movie, then we have a whole new thing too. Nate Bargatze's got pull.
Now we have two texters here, Ricky and Maddie, who are both asking the same question. Who would win head-to-head between Notre Dame and Vanderbilt? Ricky says they think, meaning the committee, Notre Dame would win the head-to-head.
Why?
He does not specify. Ricky, if you're listening, you can.
No, I'd like to know what the argument is. Just because they're Notre Dame?
I mean,
Vanderbilt's played Notre Dame before. They played up there.
I think it would be a toss-up. But if you...
On a neutral field.
If you're saying what the line would be, I think Notre Dame would be a favorite. How much of a favorite? I don't know.
But are they a favorite because of the perception?
I think it'd
be
favorite.
Or are they a favorite straight up because of the what the real line is? Like, there's the real line, and then there's the perception line because they know there's more Notre Dame fans that just want to bet on Notre Dame because they're a Notre Dame fan.
I think Notre
Dame, that's how the line works,
is a good team. Now, their schedule doesn't afford them other than their first two games of the season. Now, you can look at Pitt and those guys at the end, but Pitt, they're just not a good team. They're not a team that was seriously, once we got toward the last three or four games, Pitt, their record says, but if you watch them, they really wasn't a good team. I think Notre Dame's a good team, but this is the problem with Notre Dame, is that I don't care how good you are. If you're not in a conference and you lose to two conference teams, the SEC, people are going to be looking at your schedule like the only two teams you had to – you didn't even split with the SEC. You lost both of them. And then you just ran the gamut on your schedule, which was soft, really, with the exception of USC. But you put work in on USC. You put work in on Pitt. I think Notre Dame is a damn good team. But because of their schedule, people are still looking at it like, are they really better than Vandy? I think on a neutral field, because of the brand, I think Notre Dame would be favorite. But also, Notre Dame's a really good football team.
Yeah, they're good.
They're a really good football team.
Look, there's going to be there are playoff worthy teams that are going to be kept out of this thing who were worthy of being in there. Here is my question. Notre Dame played one SEC team, Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. It was a great win for Texas A&M. It went right down to the last couple plays. What is Texas A&M's strength of schedule within the league? What's it overall?
Do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer. it was weak. They played one of the easier SEC schedules of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Texas A&M. Let's take a look. Texas A&M against SEC competition. Hosted Auburn. Hosted Mississippi State. Hosted Florida. Went to Arkansas, went to LSU, went to Missouri, hosted South Carolina, went to Texas, and lost.
And late in the year, they played Missouri and LSU after Missouri and LSU were kind of on the – they sort of ended the Brian Kelly thing. They Vanderbilt sort of gashed Brian Kelly, and then Texas A&M put him away, right? they put him into the deep freeze.
Yes.
So – I think if you compare that schedule to other teams, they had an easier schedule than some in the SEC. I mean, the first four you said, Florida, Mississippi State, Auburn. I mean, everybody's good in the SEC, even the last four teams.
But you can't use that argument.
But they didn't play the heavyweights.
And they played the fewest heavyweights
in the league. But
Texas A&M is 15th in overall strength of schedule.
And they were able to win at Notre Dame. So I don't know. I don't know what the line was. Notre Dame was probably favored in that game going way back. That was only about the fourth week of the season.
But then they still counted as, listen, you're playing an SEC foe. Y'all are considered the best conference in the country. Then, you know, if you win those games, those games are counted for you. But on the same hand, it seems like some are being counted against some teams within the SEC, mainly Vanderbilt. Well, you beat Missouri and you beat SC, South Carolina. Their quarterbacks were injured, got injured during the game, or when they end up not being a good team. Okay, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say the SEC is a dominant conference, but then say, well, you didn't play tough team. You didn't. You can't have
well,
it both
ways. I'm only bringing this up.
I'm not saying that's the argument.
We can try to set, instead of just saying, hey, who would win on a neutral field? I'm trying to establish what we think the line would be on a neutral field. Texas A&M won at Notre Dame.
For what it's worth, Notre Dame was favored by 6.5 in that game against Texas A&M earlier
in the season. Because people didn't know how good Texas A&M was at the time. So I just feel like, you heard Clark Lee. They would love to match up and find out how good they are against Notre Dame. They would love, salivate for that matchup.
And one texter said to that clip, I would run through an effing brick wall for Clark Lee. Put him in the parking lot! You know Clark Lee would be down for that. Will on our text line says, I agree the SEC is still a very competitive conference, but But since NIL 2 years ago, the Big Ten won both championships and went 5-1 in the bowl games versus the SEC last year. So are bottom SEC teams better than record, or top ones not much better?
The bowl games are hard to gauge now because of the turnover in the rosters and the coaching staffs.
Yeah.
They're not the same as they used to be. But you definitely use that when it goes your way.
Uh-huh.
You say, "Oh, look at those bowl games."
Yeah, look at that national championship.
Do. Yeah.
Listen, I think the SEC from top to bottom, they are the better conference. When you get into bowl season, there are a lot of circumstances, guys transferring, guys leaving, this and that. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that goes on. Some of the guys that are seniors, their mind is the NFL draft and stuff like that. So if you're not playing for a national championship, it's hard to kind of gauge, the bowl games when it comes to conferences. Now, if your conference win all there, then you're going to have bragging rights. If they lose all there, then you don't want to say anything about the bowl game.
Like, didn't Cam Ward play half of his bowl game last year?
Yeah, he played
like
half of the game.
How do you judge whether that was?
It was hard to judge.
Cam Ward had the audacity to sit out of the second half of the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I mean, why? He had already discussed it with his coach. I needed to do. Let the young guy come in here and see what y'all got.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl, guys. The Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I'm surprised he played the bowl game, period.
The same bowl game where they take a sentient Pop-Tart and burn it alive before they feast on it.
Yes.
That same Pop-Tarts
Bowl. How could you sit out the second half of that game?
I'm surprised he played in the game, period.
Yes. Matt in Nashville says bowl games are the NIT of football now, meaning non-CFP bowl games. Chad, and this is an argument you're going to hear a lot. Chad says Vandy's wins just aren't that impressive. No teams they beat will finish ranked.
Okay. All right, let's take that. I already used one of these yesterday. Who did LSU lose to?
Remind us.
I got to pull it up.
They had a hard, very
Ole Miss,
difficult schedule.
Vanderbilt.
Alabama.
Texas A&M. They're five playoff teams,
yes,
basically. And I don't – I'll pull it up. But let's take another one. Let's take – Just give me 1 second, because when you say, they're not ranked anymore, look at these schedules, okay? Who did Tennessee lose to? Vanderbilt?
Georgia.
Oklahoma. Three playoff teams.
And Alabama?
And Alabama. Four playoff teams.
Yes.
They don't lose to the sisters of the poor, all right, or whatever the term you want to use, your cupcakes, whatever. They don't lose to the cupcakes. And then let's take Missouri, all right? Who'd they lose to? Vanderbilt beat unranked Missouri. Oh, you beat Missouri. They're not ranked. They're 8-4. Oh, you know who they lost to? Alabama, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, playoff teams.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt beat these, quote, unranked teams. Missouri, LSU, Tennessee. Well, Tennessee's still ranked.
Yes.
They only lost to other ranked teams or national title contenders. So don't tell me those wins are not the equivalent of beating a ranked team. They're not ranked because they lost to other ranked teams. Those teams are good. Those are big wins.
One texter says, the argument about the Vegas line doesn't hold up. Vandy is 9-2-1 against the spread. Goes to show you the experts don't believe with believe spelled B-E-L-E-A.
This is a central part of Vanderbilt's argument is they had no momentum coming into the season. They were
unknown.
It took
them until week 3 or 4. It was, I believe, after the win against South Carolina that Vanderbilt cracked the top 25 mm-hmm. for the first time this season.
Right. But that's the hard part about starting outside of that top 25, that you're really going to have to be convincing every week in your wins to justify them putting you in a college football playoff. That's just the way it is. And to me, Vandy proved that they should be there, but because they started basically at the bottom, now you're working through all these teams. It would be good for Vandy if Alabama loses. If Alabama loses, I think that would be a good thing for Vandy.
I think then not only do they need to lose, I think they need to lose convincingly.
But if they lose, they're 10-3. I mean, they're 9-3. I'm not taking a 9-3 Alabama.
But are you going to penalize Alabama for losing in the SEC title game?
They would count. No, the committee, they would count it as a plus if they won. So if you're going to count it as a plus if you win, you got to count it as a minus if you lose. And that would be 3 losses on Alabama's resume.
Let's quickly go to Jeff in Bowling Green on our phone line. Jeff, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, great show. Listen to it all the time. Hey, listen, I'm just like everyone else. I would love to see Vanderbilt make it. But as far as the Notre Dame argument, Notre Dame actually, and Willie, it's easy to do this, but Notre Dame actually scheduled two SEC teams this year. We went to Arkansas, Notre Dame did, and they gave Arkansas the worst beating at home of the season. And they actually got their coach fired because of that.
Right. And Arkansas, 2-10. Arkansas, the worst team.
Exactly.
In the SEC.
The point is, you know, they schedule these seasons, years that, like, Alabama is going to play a home-and-home with Notre Dame in 2 years, right? Who knows how Alabama is going to be that in 2 years? You just don't know what the records of the teams are going to be in the future.
Very true. Very true.
They schedule this stuff out. But Notre Dame scheduled two SEC teams this year. You know, I just wanted to say the fact there.
Yeah, I overlooked Arkansas.
Thank you for the call, Jeff.
Arkansas, I would say, is clearly ended up being the weakest team in the league. And they're still pretty good.
Race them. They did both.
Sure
race
they
them.
Did.
Boat raced them. So, but that's how, you know, you can kind of go back and forth with this. Well, this team played this team, and they had this many wins. When I look at it, and we're only talking about Vandy here, I think that Vandy deserves to be in. They're going to need some help. I think Alabama's going to have to lose, and somebody else is going to have to lose to really put Vanderbilt in the situation. Because if Alabama loses, then there is this dilemma with who do you put in, Vanderbilt, or do you put somebody else in?
Well, here's an interesting one. To your point, Derek, if Alabama loses the SEC title game, that's three losses. They're done, right? Miami is sitting at 10-2. Miami is not even in the ACC title game. So that actually probably works to their benefit, because what would happen if Miami was in the ACC title game and lost? So Miami actually may be better off not playing in the ACC title game because they're at 10-2.
Yeah. So that brings up a whole other discussion of the conference title games. Yes. Why
well,
do it?
Maybe we can talk about that with Trevor Maddich coming up next. 615-737-1025. Trevor Maddich will join us. We'll talk pretty much everything we've been talking about with Trevor, because he is one of the best in the business. We'll get his expert opinion on everything college football. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David James is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our friend Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Adam, I'm good, man. How are you?
We are all doing well. So bear with me here for a moment. Let's say the college football playoff chairman comes up to you and says, Trevor, I don't want to hear from any of these other loudmouths in that committee. I want to hear from you. I want you to help me make the decision on who deserves to be in the college football playoff. This is a two-part question. What would your elevator pitch be to the CFP committee to include Vanderbilt in the college football playoff? And on the other hand, what would be your elevator pitch to exclude Vanderbilt from the college football playoff?
My elevator pitch to include them would be that they've got two losses, all right, but they were both on the road to ranked teams. You know, they lost at Alabama, and that was not a great performance by Vandy. But then they lost by a field goal on the road at Texas, and that's it. They went through the rest of their SEC schedule as undefeated, except for those two road teams. So they were great, and they won at Tennessee. Big win against a rival where I believe Tennessee was favored in that game. Either way, it was a close.
They were
close in terms of the spread, but. You say Tennessee was favored?
Tennessee was favored by what, 2.5?
Yeah,
something like that?
Two and a half or three.
Okay, good. Yeah. So that's my elevator pitch for them. I mean, they swept through their SEC schedule except for two really difficult road games, and even Texas A&M could not win at Texas. So my elevator pitch against Vandy making it was that, okay, they're competing with other 10-2 teams, and while their losses are better than most of those teams, they also have wins that don't include Georgia, because they didn't play Georgia, right? They didn't play Texas A&M. These are some of the best teams in the SEC that they didn't have to face. They didn't play Oklahoma. And so, yeah, they swept through their SEC schedule, but they missed most of the best teams, even though they did face Alabama, Texas, and Tennessee.
Trevor, rank these three quarterbacks in how you would vote on them for the Heisman Trophy. Fernando Mendoza, Julian Sain, and Diego Pavia.
I would put, right now, after the Tennessee game, I would put Diego Pavia at number one. Vandy is much improved, and I think there's so much attention on Pavia that people don't pay much enough attention to how well the defense has been playing, and the rest of the offense around Pavia has been. But the fact remains that Pavia still is the heart and soul of this team. He led the team in rushing, I think, 7 out of the 12 games this year. And so it's not just that he's getting it done with his arm. And then his superpower of being able to extend drives, keep his defense on the sideline while they're wearing down the opposing defense. His ability to convert third and fourth down is almost magical. And I think you put all those things together, and it's not just that he has elevated them on the field, but he has also elevated Vandy's program into the culture of college football and the culture locally of Nashville. And the Heisman is supposed to go to the most outstanding college football player, not the best quarterback on the best team, although that's what happens a lot. But I think that from a standpoint of most outstanding on the field and what he's done to elevate the program, after I think a Heisman game against Tennessee, I would say Diego Pavia should be the first consideration if I had a vote, which I don't, because I moved to Tennessee and there's no votes available in the South.
Well, he proved in that Tennessee game that his name should be elevated with Mendoza and Sain as far as candidates to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, back on Vandy as far as their playoff chances, what needs to happen for Vandy to secure space? Because they did what they needed to do. They won big in Knoxville, and they showed that they were the better team in a powerhouse in the SEC. But beyond that, what else needs to happen for Vandy to get in?
Well, the way the rankings are stacked right now, Derek, I think they'd have to have a spaceship come down from outer space and abduct several teams in front of them, because you've got to be in the top 10 this year in order to make it, because there are two conference champions that will be among the five highest ranked that will come from outside the top 12. And so 11 and 12 in the final ranking won't be in the playoff. They'll get bounced out by those two conference champions moving up. So you got to be in the top 10. And so would Alabama, you know, be supplanted by Vanderbilt? Well, no, because Alabama beat Vanderbilt. But what about Notre Dame? Well, you can make a good case that Vanderbilt should be in instead of Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's at number 9 in their ranking last week. Vandy at number 14. And they may move up after the Tennessee win. We'll see. There's not a lot of space to move up. But even if you think that Vandy is better than Notre Dame, and Vandy had that great win against Tennessee while Notre Dame beat Stanford in the final week of the regular season, the thing is, the committee has already baked all that into the cake. In other words, the committee has already said that Notre Dame is clearly better in their eyes than Vanderbilt, and Notre Dame did nothing to take that opinion away from the committee. And Vanderbilt, even though they wanted Tennessee, there's just no space to move up. Same way with Ole Miss. I mean, the committee might think that Ole Miss won't be the same team with all the coaching upheaval in the playoffs as they were in the regular season, but they're not supposed to really do that unless they see it. But even so, I don't think that Vandy would jump over Ole Miss. So from the standpoint of what needs to happen, I don't think at this point there's anything that can really happen, because if Alabama loses in the SEC championship game, and let's say the committee drops them from 10 lower than that, you've got Miami sitting there at number 12 who beat Notre Dame, and there's a bit of a firestorm nationally for the committee, because both Notre Dame and Miami are 10-2. They both have similar strength of schedule, similar strength of record, and yet Miami is at number 9 in the playoff. Notre Dame's number 9 in the playoff. Miami right now is sitting at number 12 outside the playoff, and I think Miami will get the benefit of the doubt over Vanderbilt in that situation because Miami beat a team that the committee will put in the playoffs. So it goes back to what does Vanderbilt need to do to make it? And absent spaceship alien abduction of teams ahead of them, I just don't see it happening.
But it's to me, and we've discussed this, Trevor, talk with Trevor Maddox, ESPN. We've discussed this. I think a lot of it or some of it has to do with brand bias because you can't tell me at least that, you know, if Vandy has Notre Dame's schedule and they win the same amount of games and Notre Dame have Vandy's schedule, there's no way that Notre Dame would be in a college football playoff. But I just believe a lot of it has to do, or some of it has to do with brand bias. And when is it going to come to a point where, because college landscape has changed in sports, especially football, whereas, yeah, just because you have that brand doesn't mean that a team like Vandy can't win a national championship. So with that being said, are they being penalized because they don't have the brand, you believe?
You know, I think you can make that case. Notre Dame, since they lost their two opening games to two really good teams, I mean, Miami and Texas A&M by a combined 4 points, they've been dominant the rest of the way. But the thing is, their strength of schedule right now, Notre Dame, is 42nd, I'm sorry, in the nation. And that includes Miami and Texas A&M. If you took those two out of their strength of schedule calculation, that strength of schedule would go way down from there, because even though Notre Dame has dominated everybody they've played since then, you can't say that they've really played, with the exception of USC, anybody that's really all that great. And so Vandy, on the other hand, I think you can make a case, is better. Vandy's strength of schedule is 22nd, much better than Notre Dame's. And Vandy's strength of record is also better than Notre Dame's. Strength of record is a metric that describes how an average top 25 team would do against the schedule that you play. And Vandy's is better than Notre Dame's. And so, you know, other than looking at Notre Dame and saying, I think Notre Dame's just a better team, there's no metric that I've seen that tells me that Notre Dame should be ranked ahead of Vandy. Now, I think that, you know, from a standpoint of the committee, they don't, in my experience with them over the years, they don't say this team has a better Q factor. This team is a bigger brand. I think it would be better for ratings. So let me put the better ratings team in and keep the lesser ratings team out. That never crosses their mind. But I think from a human standpoint, there might be a bias that, hey, Notre Dame looks really good. And Vandy also looks really good, but Notre Dame is just a prettier, pretty good. And so I think that's one of the things that Vandy, I think, has against them. It's not intentional by the committee, in my opinion, but I think it does happen. And when you look at just the stats and different things, you know, defense and offense and running and passing and all that, these are very similar teams. I don't see a real reason to put Notre Dame ahead of Vandy the way that the committee has.
Trevor Maddox is with us from ESPN. Trevor, here's another philosophical question that I'm going to throw at you, because you made the analogy, and it's a good one, that you've seen this committee show you what they're up to each week. They don't have to do it that way. They choose to do it that way. And you've got a colleague like Heather Dinich, who's really good at interpreting each week and saying, well, the committee did this last week, so that's looking ahead to this week, this is what to expect. Do you think that's the best way to do it? You were talking about the cake has already been baked, sort of. Why not bake the cake from scratch today? Or you know, the last couple of days after everybody has played the 12 games? To me, that's what Vanderbilt would like them to do. Take a new look at everything. Now that everybody's played, forget about what everybody looked like in the preseason or week 4, week 8, week 10. Let's look at what everybody's done now. To me, that's a better way to go. But, of course, am I looking at it through Vanderbilt's lens? Probably. So what do you think?
I think most people would agree with you about that, Willie. But I think overall, when you look at how the committee needs to how the committee needs to do that, do me a favor real quick. Ask me that again in one sentence, because there's a couple things there, and I want to know your most important thing.
Okay, the most important thing is, should you now look at everybody from scratch today, bake the cake from scratch, as opposed to bake it gradually over the last however many times they go on Tuesday and tell you what they're doing?
Good. See, that's a great question. And their answer to that would be, we do that anyway. They're supposed to redo the rankings every week as if the other week didn't happen and just do them all over again. That's what they're supposed to do. Of course, it looks like they just slot teams in and then move them up and down whether or not they win. You know, a lot of people think that the committee shouldn't release their ranking until the final ranking. But part of the fun of college football is fighting over the rankings. That's why I like preseason rankings. Of course, preseason rankings are based on very little hard information. But it's a place to start. And then we can talk about what things turned out the way we thought they would, things that turned out differently than we thought they would. You know, it's that. And so I think it's better for college football to have more transparency than less when it comes to the committee. And I don't, they're not supposed to have their first ranking and then keep the teams in that order unless they win or lose. They're supposed to tear it up and start over again every week. And if they don't, and it looks like they didn't, then the committee spokesperson is not explaining the way the process works well enough, because that's what they're supposed to do. And Willie, most fans, I think, agree with you.
Do you think that as we move forward with this system, that they should do away with conference championship games?
No, never. Never in a million years. One of the things that makes college football great for a century is the conference championship races. And nationally right now, we're basically locked in on the playoff, but also locked in on how the conference championship race and conference championship game would affect the playoff. It's all about the playoff, and that's fine. That's good. But most teams aren't going to win the national championship. I mean, for every team in the nation but one, they're either going to win the national championship or they will lose their last game if they're in the playoff, or they will not even make the playoff. And if that's what the standard is, then you're a failure every year unless you're that one. Whereas you've got a conference championship race independent of the playoff, and if you win, you are a champion. They raise the banner. Your name is now in history with your school. I think it's fantastic that conference championships are still honored by the playoff system, where the top five highest-ranked conference champions get an automatic berth. Now, Nick Saban has posited that maybe you should get an automatic berth if you're one of the top five highest-ranked conference champions, only if you're also ranked in the committee's top 15. And I can see that, because this year the group of five champion is going to be outside the top 15, whoever that is. And it's possible that the ACC champion is five-loss Duke. Now, if that happens, it's also possible that if JMU wins the Sun Belt, that Duke doesn't make that an ACC champion Duke doesn't make the playoff at all. And that's a whole different discussion, because then you'd have two group of five, whoever wins the American and JMU if they win the Sun Belt. But if JMU doesn't win the Sun Belt, if Troy beats them with, I think, four losses, and if Duke wins the ACC, then you're looking at a five-loss team as a conference champion getting an automatic berth into the playoff, and I love it.
I do too, Trevor.
The relevance of conference championships.
Of course you love it.
I do too, says the host born in Durham, North Carolina. Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Maze, Bingen, and Donick. He joins us every week, and he is brought to you by the Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025 also. A programming note, a little birdie named Chase McCabe has informed me that Clark Lee will join our program tomorrow at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock tomorrow.
4 o'clock.
Very nice. Very nice.
So we will have Clark Lee on the program. We will get his reaction to the latest CFP rankings. That's tomorrow at 4. 615-737-1025 will react to Trevor. Barry Trotz coming up at the top of the hour. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Barry Trotz will join us in roughly 15 minutes live here at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Calgary Flames. Tonight at 7, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6 with Max Herz right here on 102.5 The Game. Willie, you seemed a little surprised by Trevor's response to your question about the eliminating conference championship games. You seemed a bit taken aback by how strongly Trevor feels about conference championship games.
No, I'm not. I'm not taken aback. Trevor is going to give his opinion. Because I think he makes a really good point that, you know, someday when you look back and you say, I played college football, well, where'd you play? I played at so-and-so, and we won the X championship that year. That's more likely to be the answer than, you know, we played in the college football playoff. So there is something to it, but it does create a lot of confusion. And the other issue is, you know, like these conference championships, there's these huge leagues where you have 16 teams and you only play half of the teams in your league. It's hard to really do a true conference championship. Like, to me, the most meaningful conference championship is like a high school championship where you have probably eight teams that make sense. They're in your area. And these are the teams you play against. And you determine a championship. Everybody plays everybody, and then you determine how to do it in the postseason. That's meaningful, for sure. I think it's less meaningful the way they do it in college football, but I get Trevor's point, for sure. But if for the purposes of the selection committee, you got all kinds of issues, right? Like Derek's one he's been bringing up all week, is if Alabama loses, there's going to be that whole, well, you can't penalize them. They made the championship game. Oh, but they have three losses, and we can't bring in a three-loss team. It's two direct adages that we've had for decades. You can't get in if they've got more losses than the other team. Oh, but they were in the championship game. You can't penalize them for being in the championship game. Something's got to give.
I mean, Duke is in the ACC title game at 7-5 with a 6-2 record in the ACC, tied with, I think, four other teams at 6-2 and some random tiebreaker. Duke.
Do you know what the tiebreaker was?
Strength of conference opponent schedule. I don't know.
I certainly don't know.
All I know is I got the email from Duke saying, we're in the title game. Get your tickets now. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't think that was going to happen. But yeah, I mean.
But I think this is the worst. This is probably one of the worst case scenarios for the committee. Having a, say if Duke wins, and listen, if they win, they deserve to be in.
I mean, Duke just got crushed by Virginia a couple of weeks ago. So
it's like,
I don't have high hopes for it.
If they win and they get in, it's just like, seriously? Like, this is what we're doing? I know they get in because they're a conference champion. But there has to be a point where you look at it and say, man, you lost five games. I know you won a conference, but no, you still can't get in.
Right, and I'm hypocritical about the other thing, too, because for years, I've always been like, Give one of the quote little guys a chance. Leave a spot. If you're going to expand, then carve out a spot. And they have, right?
Or your Tulanes or your South Florida.
Right, so somebody's going to get that spot. But now
football.
That my team, Vanderbilt 10-2, and that's one of the spots.
The
get those guys out of there. Get the little guys out of there. Come on.
But that was the old football. New football is something different.
Yes. Jim in Springfield on our text line says, one thing I heard people talking about is what happens if BYU wins the Big 12. That will steal a spot in the playoff. From somebody, we did talk about that earlier. BYU playing Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game. BYU crushed by Texas Tech a few weeks ago. But if BYU pulls off the upset, then I still think that Texas Tech gets in. So I agree with Jim that I do think BYU would be a bid stealer. Excuse me. Sonny says, do you think creating these massive leagues has made things worse for these rankings / playoff?
The minute that the SEC took Oklahoma and Texas, I said, this is what's going to happen. And this is what's happened.
Yeah.
Is they beat each other up, and it's getting plenty of teams in, but it clouds everything.
Well, once they open it up to 16, will it still cloud some things? Yes, but I do believe at that point, you would be in if you really deserve to be in with 16 teams. It's just now, and it's crazy because we've touted the SEC as being the best conference in America, but we penalize them for being the best conference in America. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like if you want to say they're the best conference, well, treat them like the best conference. And Vandy played a tough schedule within the best conference.
It didn't seem possible at the start of last year, and definitely at the end of last year, that you would have a 10-2 team not get in.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, well, 10-2 in the SEC, with a good schedule should do it.
Well, it was the whole thing last year, right, with Alabama being 9-3 and SMU being 10-2, right?
Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, is that right?
I think so.
All of them were sitting there with three losses.
Last year?
Yeah. And they, you know, they, there was a debate on whether the, one of those teams should have gotten in.
Well,
as
if,
opposed to, I think,
if,
SMU.
If and when the college football playoff expands,
yeah,
there are going to be three lost teams in, included. Look.
Maybe.
Despite the fact that Texas has three losses and one of them was to Florida, yuck, I do think Texas has a strong case. I don't think it's – I don't anticipate it happening for Texas, but I think at 9-3 they played a tough schedule. They went to Ohio State to open the season. They gave Ohio State its toughest game of the season. They've beaten some good teams. They did lose to a really bad one, and that should count against them.
I think that's going to count against
them.
And I think that's the debate is – This is Vanderbilt's argument versus Texas' argument. Texas is saying we had the guts to play at Ohio State.
And Vanderbilt says we didn't lose to Florida.
100%. And what is Vanderbilt's argument? We just laid it out there before Trevor came on.
Yes.
That while Missouri and Tennessee and LSU are not ranked, those teams only lost to playoff caliber teams.
Yeah.
Only losses. They did not lose to none of the three of those teams
lost to a Florida. Yeah,
no.
Vanderbilt certainly didn't lose to a Florida.
Well, last year
I'm preparing to be aggravated when I watch this.
It's going to aggravate you.
You can't. There'll be two or three teams that were worthy that aren't going to get in, and Vanderbilt very well could be one of those teams.
You're going to have an argument for against the team 12, 11, and 10, or you're going to have an argument for, the teams that was right outside of that. And Vanderbilt just may be one of those teams right outside of that. And, they have just as much of an argument as an Alabama who, even if they win, they're in. If they lose, then are they in or are they out? They more than likely are probably out. But I think they have just as good an argument as Texas, as Alabama, or as any other SEC school. Because what they did was they went and they had two losses away, but they pretty much handled everybody else. I know there were some close ones in there with Missouri and South Carolina, but when they needed to play big, they played big. When Diego needed to play big, he played big, especially toward the latter part of the season.
Ricky says, a five-loss team getting in is an atrocity if that happens. Should be the 12 best teams regardless of conference champions. Normally, Ricky, I would agree with you, but you're talking about a specific five-loss team. So my bias is showing. I think it would be great for a five-loss team to get in as a conference champion. But generally, I agree with you.
Well,
if they get in, they may just get boat raced.
They will. It's not not they may. They will.
It'll be a Notre Dame. Who was that? Notre Dame, Alabama? Where Notre Dame just got boat raced.
Last year, I think, was it SMU?
SMU.
SMU went
Clemson?
To Penn,
yeah.
Wait,
no,
not
Penn State Clemson. Or Clemson?
It was Clemson.
Clemson
got beat pretty bad.
Yeah. Penn State both.
Oh, no. Clemson and SMU played the ACC. They played some good games. I forget which one went where.
Texas.
SMU's got whipped by Texas.
SMU lost 38-10 to
Texas.
SMU lost 38-10 to Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah.
Oh. And who did Texas rip in the first game?
Texas beat Clemson 38-24.
Yeah, so both showed you the weakness of the ACC.
Yes. So.
Let's look at the perspective of other leagues in the SEC where so many of the teams in the league, spin the wheel and pick a sport. Baseball, men's basketball had, 14 in last year. Women's basketball is always really deep. Golf, soccer. This is the issue with football. You have 16 programs that are all capable of having a lot of success. And in other sports, it's easier to get into the postseason, I think, than it is in football. And so this is going to be a problem every year, I think.
615-737-1025. We will pick up the college football playoff conversation in just a little bit. But coming up next, Predators general manager Barry Trotz will join us here at Barrel House for our weekly chat. He will be joining us momentarily, so stick around. Barry Trotz coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.